How many of you are Irish?
A little bit.
Oh, we've got some that's Irish. That's good. Okay, I hope the leprechaun are good to you. Why don't we stand and sing this wonderful old hymn, Jesus Saves? I hope you know it. It's really a nice hymn, and I chose it because I love it. Song, and you sung it well. The call to worship today comes from the 119th chapter of Psalm. I seek you with all my heart. Do not let me stray from your commands. I have hidden your word in my heart, that I might not sin against you. Praise be to you, O Lord. Teach me your decrees. I delight in your decrees. I will not neglect your word.
Guess you can be seated, because I don't think you have anything else that you will be playing today. But welcome to Harbor of Joy. I know there is a birthday girl here today, and there might be other people here that have birthdays in this green month of March. Who else has birthdays in March? Tristan? Elwood? Steve? And Denny? Kelly, that is? Dean Ramsey, but he's not here. Just who's here? Pat Garrels, it's her birthday today. So happy birthday to you, Pat. And I just think it was just saying happy birthday to everybody that has a birthday in March. And just know that Pat has one right on today. And are you Irish? Oh, you're not. She's not Irish, but don't pinch her. Anyway. But let's just sing happy birthday to Pat and everybody else. So be Pat and friends, okay, when you get to that part. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Pat and friends. Happy birthday to you. And many more. You are welcome. I know you don't like to be the center of attention, but some little birdie told me it was your birthday, and I think you know who he is. Good to have you here this morning. How do you like the wind change and the whole temperature change out there? Not the best, but we're not used to this, but we'll get through it. Been through it before many times, and it's been a lot worse than what we have out there today. But I do want to let you know that tonight at 5 o'clock, there is the third season of The Chosen that will be shown in the Fireside Room. Make sure you make note of that. If you've got something that you'd like to do tonight, it'd be a good place to go and be able to see The Chosen. Tuesday is Women's Bible Study. Is this the last one? One more. Okay. But just checking with Cheryl Hesinius because she's got it going here, I think, here. So at any rate, 9:30, they meet for the Women's Bible Study, and anyone can be a part of that. Prayer partners follow. And also on Wednesday, there's a lot of things going on Wednesday. Here is what's going to happen on Wednesday. Joy Kids will be here from 3:30 to 5 o'clock. There's Ahmad. Some of you know Ahmad. He is with the Nappies, with Pastor Tim and Bev, and Ahmad is from, I think, Western Africa. He's going to, I don't know if he'll be here or not, because we don't know if he's flying in Iowa on that day either. But I'm just letting you know that he is here, but you can go and see Ahmad if you want to. He's going to be over in Sibley on Thursday at 1:30 in the Trinity Lutheran Church in Sibley. So if you want to see Ahmad, that would probably be your best bet as of today. If you want to know anything more about him, you'll have to call Dean Ramsey, and he'll give you the facts on that, if he can be here or not. We are having a potluck supper at 5:15. This is a congregational potluck supper. So I don't really know what that all means, but it means you bring something. But there will be no grilling going on outside, I do not believe, at this time. And come and be a part of that at 5:15, and then there's going to be choir practice for Palm Sunday, which is next Sunday, and they're going to meet at 5:45 in here to have practice with the choir, and anyone can be a part of the choir, even if you haven't practiced up to this point. Just one song that you're singing, Jesus, what is it called? The King is Coming, I believe is what it's called. So keep that in mind, and then we'll have our service at 6:30 that evening as well. So Thursday, if you miss practice, choir practice, you can come, and Lynn Kelling will be here at 10 o'clock, and she would be more than happy to help you with your part or to sing the song, get familiar with it on Thursday. And then keep in mind, there will be practice again on Saturday for the choir at 9:30 in the morning here at the church. There'll be coffee and some things served afterwards as well, just so you know that. So keep that in mind. 9:30 Saturday, we'll also have choir practice for those of you that are singing for Palm Sunday. Donna Thielberg took off this morning with her daughter Brenda back down to Crescent. She's doing much better than what she was, and she's going to continue to recover with her hip surgery down there. Ross and Terry Dirk's nephew, Chris Vincent, is on and off a ventilator down in Texas, and he's still in a coma, I believe, and so just pray for him and the family that's going through a difficult time, as you can about imagine. Dorothy Cherry is not with us here, that's not because she doesn't want to be here, it's just that she's just not stable enough to walk. And so she stays at home. So hi, Dorothy, if you're watching by Zoom, that's possible. And she's got some issues with blood. Her body's not producing blood. And so she's just doing a lot of different, going to doctors here and there along the way. And that just gives a little update with Dorothy Cherry. Just remind you that there's a semi-annual business meeting that will be the last Sunday of April. If you got reports, those of you know who you are that have to have a report in by April 14th. And if your report's not in by April 14th, you need to either call the church secretary or you're just out of luck. It'll be printed when it gets printed. We want to have the booklets available a week ahead of time, and gives you something to read and look at before the meeting that takes place right after the worship service on the last Sunday of April. The Women's Luncheon is also coming up. Just keep that in mind. I'll share more about that next week. But that's all I'm going to make. Announcements I'm going to make because there's a lot more in there. But you can read them yourself. But let's have a word of prayer together, shall we? Lord, here we are in your house, in your place. And you are here with us as well. We're not here by accident. We are here because you have laid it on our hearts and our minds to come and to be here today, even though it's not what we've been used to in the last number of weeks of pretty mild temperatures for winter. But Lord, we are in a safe place. We are in the harbor, where wind and things will not get at us, but that your spirit will have its way, his way, in our hearts and in our lives here this morning. Thank you, Lord, for everyone that is here today and those that are watching by Zoom as well. May your presence touch each and every one of us here this morning through your word, through the songs, by just being together. And for those that are watching as well, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. For responsive reading this morning, you will say the dark, bold words, and I'll lead with the ones that are not. It says that the time is coming, declares the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. Because they broke my covenant, though I was a husband to them, declares the Lord. I will put my law in their minds and write it on their hearts. No longer will a man teach his neighbor or a man his brother, saying, "Know the Lord." For I will forgive their wickedness, and I will remember their sins no more. We'll have a special number, I believe, with Lynn Kelling singing Rise Again.
Say it. keep me in the ground. Go ahead and mark my name. My love for you is still the same. Go ahead and bury me, but very soon
Thank you, Lynn, very much. For that song, I told her that I was singing that song in my head on the way to work here this week, and then here she sings it. I go like, wow, God's at work all the time, isn't he? I invite you to stand as we hear God's word that is given to us in the Gospel of Mark. That's the New Testament, chapter 10 of Mark. And it's just a small portion of Scripture. It's verses 32 through 34. Mark 10, 32 through 34. They were on their way to Jerusalem when Jesus, leading the way, and the disciples were astonished, while those who followed were afraid. Again, he took the 12 aside and told them what was going to happen to him. "We are going up to Jerusalem," he said, "and the Son of Man will be betrayed to the chief priests and the teachers of the law. They will condemn him to death. They will hand him over to the Gentiles, who will mock him and spit on him, flog him, and kill him. 3 days later, he will rise." Heavenly Father, we are here to have an encounter with you this morning. Even though we may have heard this or these verses many times, may they really be heard and listened to today, where they are believed in one another's hearts here today. We thank you for Jesus. We thank you for you sending him to us to be our Savior. And may you use the message today in a way in which you want it to be heard and applied in each life here, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Today's text is just a little preview of what is going to happen on Good Friday, during Holy Week, and then ultimately on Easter Sunday, which is not too far away. We find in our text today that Jesus knows what lies ahead of him as he's going to Jerusalem. You got to keep in mind that he's going to Jerusalem, and so are like hundreds, if not thousands, of other people going to Jerusalem because there is a special feast that's going to take place called the Passover. So there's a lot of traffic all going to Jerusalem, and you would go up to where Jerusalem is at, and they're going to be going to the temple to worship the Lord there at that time. So this isn't the first time that Jesus has made his fate known to the disciples. He has actually told them, this is the third time that Jesus has told them what was going to happen to him when he goes to Jerusalem. But this time, it's different than all the other two times because he adds more details to what's going to actually happen when he goes to Jerusalem. Keep in mind, it's Jesus who is leading. He's out front. He's the point man of the disciples and probably the people that have been following him, but he pulls the disciples to the side, which is probably a common thing to do at that time of all the people that were going there. You know, you stop to get rest or just catch your wind or whatever it was, we're just saying, oh man, we still aren't there yet. And they're walking. But Jesus pulls the 12 disciples to the side, and that's when he tells them what's going to happen to them when he gets there. I want to just tell you that today what he does not say to them. Jesus does not mention at all that he's going to be riding on a donkey into Jerusalem, and the people will be applauding, they'll be clapping, they'll be shouting praises, they'll be putting palm branches on the road and be waving them, they'll take their cloaks off and put them on the road. He's going to ride on top of those coats on the way into Jerusalem. But Jesus doesn't tell them that that's what's going to happen. Jesus does not talk about washing any of their feet either at the Last Supper, or before the Last Supper. Jesus doesn't say that he will proclaim a new covenant with his disciples at the Last Supper either, where he says, when he takes up the bread, he says, this is my body. And he takes up the cup and he says, this is my blood shed for you. As we do that at our communion times together, we still do this. But Jesus didn't mention this at all to his disciples. So let's go back to our text in the book of Mark. And like I've said before, that Jesus leads the way when he knows what's going to happen to him, and he can only do what only he can do, and no one else can. No one else can lead to the place where Jesus is going. Only he can do this, and does it. Notice the emotions that we find in our text of the people and of the disciples. It says, on their way up, as Jesus is leading them, the disciples were astonished, while those who followed were afraid. Those are emotions that people are having. Sometimes you go like, there's something that's going to happen in Jerusalem. We're not sure what it is. Sometimes you've always said that too. You know, I just don't really feel good about this because something bad's going to take place. You have a premonition, we call it. Sometimes it happens, sometimes it doesn't. But here, something's going to happen when Jesus and his disciples and those who are there to celebrate the feast of the Passover together will be none like they've ever seen before. That's going to take place. And so where is Jesus in all of this? He's not afraid. And he's out front, leading the people, knowing what's going to happen to him. And he's just doing what the Father has asked him to do. It's the reason why he came, to accomplish going to the cross. So there's no fear that we see in Jesus when, if it would have been you or me, knowing that this is what was going to happen, I don't think we would probably even want to go there. Let's do everything we can to avoid going to Jerusalem. But here we find Jesus out front and leading the way with no fear. He knew what was coming. So Jesus separates the 12 from the other travelers, and he gives them the instructions that we find here in Mark. There are some things that you just don't tell everybody. There's some things you just don't tell the world about. You just bring a few people close to you and you tell them. And so Jesus just wants to make sure that his disciples knew what they were going to see happen and take place. And they'll be a part of it. But no matter how strong they think they are, when the time comes, we all know what happens to them. Jesus refers to himself as the Son of Man. He always refers to himself that way. It's the other people who said, "You are the Son of God. You are the Christ. You are the Messiah." But only Jesus calls himself the Son of Man. It's a messianic term, a title, because he is a savior of all mankind, which includes men, women, and children. He's the savior. His name says that. It means that. And so he tells the disciples, here's what you can expect in just the next few hours. When they get to Jerusalem, the religious leaders will be against him. Now, the religious leaders and rulers are Jews. No one would ever think that these guys would ever turn against really anyone. But Jesus says they're going to be nasty. Because they will condemn him to death. So keep that in mind. They're going to condemn you. The religious Jewish leaders are going to condemn you. And then these Jews who are the Sadducees and the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, they are going to then turn Jesus over to the Gentiles, and this would be the Romans. So you got Jews and Gentiles working together against Jesus. And it says here that the Romans then, once he's been turned over to the Gentiles, that he will be mocked, he will be spit on, he'll be whipped, if you don't know what flogging is, 39 lashes, and then he will have to carry his own cross to be crucified on it, and was. And I think we all remember when Jesus was on that cross, laid on that cross, and the Roman soldiers nailed him to it, of what Jesus said to them. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they're doing. I don't think you and I would ever say something like that in a time like that. Only God could say something like that. And everything that Jesus said on the cross is amazing to me. You'll find no other person on this earth who would say the things that Jesus said on the cross. Jesus ends what he says here to his disciples. There is good news at the very end. What do you want first, the bad news or the good news? Some of us go like, well, give me the bad news first. Well, Jesus did. But he saved the good news, the best news, at the very end when he tells them. What did he tell them? I lost my place here. Okay. Here it is. 3 days later, I will rise again. He doesn't put it into first person. He says, 3 days later, he will rise again. That's the good news. That's why we celebrate Easter. It's good news. It's not just a day of having a meal and having Reese's peanut butter eggs. Go out and look at the little chicks out at Baumgars. The Easter bunny. Easter baskets. It's about what Jesus Christ did for you and for me. Jesus has no fear here, as he tells them this. A lot of times when fear hits us, it can paralyze us. We can get so afraid, so scared, we just don't know what to do, and we just shut down. But not with Jesus. Jesus faces this head on. And he knows that this is the reason why he came. To die for those whom he loves very much. We find in the epistle of 1 John chapter 4, verse 18, it says, there is no fear in love. It's amazing. God says that he is love. There's no fear. Love casts out all fear. I still think about those in Gaza Strip who are in tunnels. I can't imagine of what shape they're in or what they are going through or what they have gone through. After over 100 days and being in those tunnels in Gaza. Is there anyone there that is telling them, fear not, have no fear, God's with us here, and we'll be with him shortly, if that's the case. So good news takes away our fears. And that's why Jesus came, to save and to forgive and to take away all of our fears. You got fears here today? You will always notice that if you got fears, you probably got worry, you got all kinds of different things, you got doubts. But that's the reason why Jesus came. To save us from all of that and to give us hope. Jesus didn't come to give us fear, but to give us hope. Hope to all who will receive him as their personal Savior. As we see in Scripture many times, it says we're to receive, we're to believe, we're to trust him by faith. And faith is only as good as its object. The object of faith is always the cross. It's always Jesus, what he did for us on that cross. That's our faith. It's on him. It's not in me or my parents or my grandparents or great-grandparents or aunt and uncle or whatever. None of them could do what Jesus did. So our faith needs to be personal, believing and trusting in him. And it's very simple. Jesus just took our place. Do you realize it should have been you and me that died on that cross and be crucified on it? It should have been you and me. But Jesus said, wait a minute. I'll go in your place. And he did. And he even did one better than that. He said, I'll rise again. Thank you, Lynn, for that song. If you are a believer in Jesus Christ, hear the words of John 3:17 as well as Romans 8:1, where it talks about Jesus did not come to condemn the world, but he came to save the world. We find in Romans where it says, There is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. That's the hope that he gives to us. Do you have that hope? I remember growing up in Sunday school, always hearing about Jesus going to the cross and dying on the cross and rising again, da 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 da. But even as a kid, what's the big deal about that? It didn't become a big deal until all of a sudden, I don't even know where I heard this. But it says that he took your place, Tim. Oh, that makes a difference. Jesus took my place on that cross when I should have died for my sins and my guilt and my shame, my failures and my sinfulness, and there were many, still are. But Jesus justifies us by faith. In his prayer that we are looking at on Wednesday nights, the last thing we heard about last Wednesday is he sanctifies us. He prays for our protection, that we are sanctified, set aside, set apart from the world, and protected by him. And that's his prayer for his disciples. So I don't know where you are at here this morning. God does, though. That's all that matters. God does. But if you need someone to talk to, someone to listen to you, be more than glad to do that. Got questions? I'd be more than glad to try to answer them if I can. But I won't know that unless you ask. And I don't have to really worry about it. I won't be kept up at night, because I know that God already knows who you are. And you need to go to him. You need to be talking to God. Talking to Jesus. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for the strength that we see in Jesus Christ here in our text this morning. Not someone who is a scaredy cat, not someone who is afraid of things, but someone who leads and becomes the point man. And we see this throughout his time as he goes into Jerusalem. Even though he knows all that's going to take place, he knows he's going to be betrayed, but he does not say that it's going to be one of his disciples that will betray him. It just says religious leaders and rulers. Lord, if there's anyone here this morning that has been betrayed or feels betrayed in life, may they first know that you understand what it's like. It's never a good feeling. It can be very difficult and very hard. A lot of tears. But you know about every tear that has been cried, has been shed over someone who has been the betrayer in his or her life. And Lord, we just pray that regardless of how deep the hurt is, we know that only Jesus Christ can forgive and can heal. And that is the direction in which we want to go, is the way of Jesus. So Lord, you know the hearts that are here today, and may you speak as only you can, in a still, small voice, or having heard something you did not expect to hear today, to come from the pulpit, to come from myself. But Lord, we want to do what you would have us to do. We always want to be on your side because it's always the best side to be on. Not the easiest, but it's the best side. So Lord, have your way here this morning. May we pray the prayer that you taught your disciples to pray together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. May you stand, please, if you're able, and we will recite the Apostles' Creed. Just want you to know that whenever we have communion starting in April, from the end of the year, we are going to do the Nicene Creed instead of the Apostles' Creed, just for something different as well. But let's say the Apostles' Creed together this morning. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated. Before you play anything there, Karen, I just want us to have just a time of just prayer this morning. There's plenty of time. Don't look there, Curtis. Let's just spend some time in prayer before we sing the last song, which is titled Mansion Over the Hilltop, right? But we're going to just spend some time in prayer and just ask God to show our hearts here this morning, or pray without sleeping, if you can, of just thanking God for what you know what he's doing for you as well, or in your life. Any other requests? He's here to listen. So let's do that. Let's just go up to prayer in silence. And I'll just close when we're done with that, okay? Heavenly Father, thank you for listening. Thank you for hearing, if it's prayers, if it's praise. Thank you for just silence, where we can hear you, and you can hear us. We pray this, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Karen.
As an addendum to Pastor Volf's message, if we know the Lord as our own personal Savior and we've asked him to come into our life, We are promised in John 14 that he will come again to bring us, and we will have mansions over the hilltop. Mm-hmm. I'm looking forward to that because I live in a single wide trailer, so I'm looking forward to my mansion.
I'm satisfied with just a cottage below, a little silver and a little gold. But in that city where the ransom will shine, I want a gold one, that silver lined. I've got a mansion just over the hilltop in that bright land where we'll never grow old, and someday yonder we will never more wander, but walk the streets that are purest gold. Though often tempted, tormented and tested, and like the prophet, my pillow a stone, and though I find no permanent dwelling, I know he'll give me a mansion of my own. I've got a mansion just over the hilltop, that bright land where we'll never grow old. And someday yonder we will never more wander, but walk the streets that our purest gold. Don't think me poor or deserted or lonely. I'm not discouraged, I'm heaven bound. I'm just a pilgrim in search of a city. I want a mansion, a harp and a crown. I've got over the hilltop in that bright land where we'll never grow old, and someday yonder we will never more wander, but walk the streets that are pure.